everybody. This is Donna Fox, and you are listening to Akashic Wisdom, the show that where we talk about the Akashic Records and what's happening and why things have happened in your life. And so tonight is very much similar to every other night. I'm going to bring forth a message from the Akashic Records for you, those who are listening, and those who listen through the archives. My name is Donna Fox, and I've been working with the Akashic Records for over 15 years. And the Akashic Records are the energetic recording of your soul's journey over every lifetime. So every thought, word, and deed are registered in the Akashic Records, including your soul's intention for this lifetime. So we just wanted to talk to you today about your life, about what cosmic code you're living under, about when you move into your life the way you want it to be, as well as we're going to talk a little bit about truth. And I don't know how all this is going to show up. I never really know. All I want to do is, first of all, I want to let you know that this year, again, we're talking about 2012, is a chance for us all to rebirth ourselves. It's a chance to really move into our hearts. And in, when I was working with the Akashic Records earlier today, actually with a client, we talked about truth and what truth is and what we perceive truth to be. And the reality is that we all are living under our own perceptions of truth. And by living under our own perceptions of truth, we define our lives and our situations differently. And many times we work with our friends and our family, and we work with them from a place of what our perception of truth is for them. And the reality is, we can only look at the perception of truth for ourselves. We can never assume that we know somebody else's truth. And so the idea here is moving into what you believe to be your truth, number one, looking at your life to see what beliefs you're holding about how things are and how that shapes your truth, and then being willing to take a look at that and put those beliefs up against what is the truth for you. So, for example, the best way to explain about truth is that if you have two factions that are at war, one side will believe their truth is one thing, and the other side will believe their truth is something else. Neither of the truths of either side embraces the truth of the other, nor does it recognize it. Nor does it even know the full extent of the other side's truth. They are only operating on what their truth is, and thus they get into a war because they only perceive or think they know what the other side's truth is. And actually, what I'm also hearing is that we also have that type of war going on inside of us. We have our brains, or our minds, if you will, have one perception of truth. Our heart has another perception of truth. And our soul has another perception of truth. So when we work from our mind about what's logical truth, and our heart tells us something else, I'm sure you've all been in relationships where that's happened, where your mind told you one thing and your heart told you something else, and yet you had a gut feeling about something totally different. And what we are suggesting, we being the masters, teachers, and loved ones are saying, is that this is the time to align all the different beliefs and truths that are within you so that you can move forward to the highest level of your being and to fulfill that which is most sacred for you in your lifetime. And notice the wording there. To fulfill that which is most sacred to you in your lifetime. So, you have some questions to ask yourself. I'd love to discuss it with anybody who would like to call in. You know, we have an 800 number. It doesn't cost anything. And it's like getting a free consultation. And so you can certainly call in to our special 800 number. And in a moment, I will get that for you. I did have it right here. But you can call 888-260-3070. And that's good for the U.S. or Canada. And so do call in and give a comment or an opinion about what you believe truth to be. There are so many people who walk around with limiting beliefs about how things are, and they operate out of those beliefs. One of the things that came up today is that we were talking about control. And in a person's, in many times, within the belief system of people who like to control, they feel it's their responsibility to control everything around them so that others will not be hurt. So if they can control it and quote-unquote do it right, then the other person or the other people in their life won't have to suffer or worry. And so the control person who likes to be in control, I personally want to say control freak, but the one who is really adamant about control feels they're doing the right thing by protecting everyone and taking on the responsibility of handling everything. And it's a very hard habit to break. But the reality of that habit is that the reason why you are in control or want to be in such great control is that part of it has to do with your fear of being out of control. And again, so if you have somebody in your life that is a major control person and you want to understand how you can work with them, give a call. If you are that control person that desperately wants to release the idea of being a control person, then give us a call. We have much to share with you, and it's so much richer when someone calls in and talks and we have a conversation, and everybody learns that way. And again, the Akashic Records, as I mentioned earlier, are the energetic recording of your soul's journey over every lifetime. So every thought, word, and deed are registered in the Akashic Records energy, including your soul's intention for this lifetime. The interesting thing about that is that because we are on this particular planet that is has been created around linear time, we believe that our past lives are in order. The reality is they're not, because on the other side of our veil, in spirit, there is no time. So there may in fact could have many, many or various lifetimes happening at the same time. And so they're parallel lives, they're parallel energies, parallel dimensions, parallel consciousness. And because there is no time, there are future lifetimes playing out. But the reality on all of that is that what we do today can only affect who we are in this lifetime. What we did in the past and the lessons or the experiences that we brought forward into this lifetime based on our choices prior to coming in are all in front of us. And telling the future is literally impossible, mainly because what you choose today creates your future. So what's true today may not be true tomorrow based on free will choice. And each one of these consciousnesses has different outcomes because they have different choices. And so therefore, since you have different choices and you have the possibilities of different outcomes, trying to be in control is a little futile, to say the least, a little futile. So we would encourage you to be willing to look at that and understand what your control issues are all about, or how you would, if you'd like to learn how to release them, we could also help you with that. So do, you know, give a call. It's 888-260-3070. And I would love to talk to you, give you information from the Akashic Records. So let's talk a little bit about what your truths are. Do you have some absolute belief systems about how relationships, quote unquote, should be? What your partner's role is, or your prospective partner's role should be, what your role should be? Do you have, based on various belief systems, do you have various criteria, do you have a belief system around the way children are supposed to interact with their parents? Now, this is the way it is. Or do you have a specific belief system about how your relationships with not just lovers, but with all other people, quote-unquote, should be, based on how the other person should act? Do you have any belief systems about giving? So if you do something nice for somebody else, they automatically, quote-unquote, should do something nice for you. I mean, it's only right, right? If you're nice to them, they should only rightly be nice to you. And what if they're not? Then how do you feel? So these are the kinds of things we'd like to talk to you about, and we would love to be able to answer any questions you might have, okay? So do give a call. Do give a call. And the other piece is I want to talk about the fact that I'm going to be doing a workshop in Minneapolis. Right now we have 12 people. We have a room for 16, so there's only 4 spots left, and that's going to be in the Twin Cities area on January 28th and 29th. Also, I'd like to share with you, if you're out there and you're from the Twin Cities area or the surrounding area, I'm going to be doing a lecture at the Lake Harriet Spiritual Community in Minneapolis. If you'd like information, and that's going to be Friday night, January 27th, and that's from 7:30 to 9:30. Prepay on that lecture is $10 through via my PayPal, or $15 at the door. So if you are in the area and you would like to know more about the Akashic Records, please come by. Also going to demonstrate how I open up the Akashic Records for the group, and I'm going to bring a message forth from the group specifically for for them based on what's happening for that group for 2012. So if that's, and we're also going to take some individual questions too, time permitting, but I'm pretty sure that we'll be able to have time to do that. So if that's all of interest to you, I truly encourage you to email me. Now, you can email your question tonight at info@akashicwisdom.com. That's I-N-F-O at akashicwisdom.com. And you can certainly, you can email questions there. If you would like to call me directly while I'm on the phone and just leave a message, you can dial 216-691-1233. That goes right to my voicemail, and I will be happy to return your call. Again, 216-691-1233 is the number to leave me a message, so I'll call you back. So, my friends, here's how we work this program. There, you know, the Akashic Records are very empowering energy. And it's not the intention to change anyone. It's not the intention to tell anyone really what to do. Because the Akashic Record energy, and the masters, teachers, and loved ones of the Akashic Records are here to help us and guide us. Not to tell us what to do, but they'll give us all the information we need in order to make the appropriate decisions. So I'd like to share that with you. And so that's why we don't talk really about futures or past lives. It's really about the here and now and what you can do to make your life more meaningful and more joyful for you in the here and now. And that's the important piece of that. But I don't like to talk to myself. And that's sometimes the way it feels when I'm on the phone here and no one calls in. I feel like I'm talking to myself because I don't know if you're listening. So if you value this program, if you're a regular listener, I do encourage you to give a call in, even if it's not on the subject that we're talking about, even if you have a question that's totally not within the realm of our subject matter. That's really okay. And so I would very much like to, again, give you the phone number here is 888-260-3070. And quite frankly, in about 5 or 10 minutes, if I haven't heard from anybody, and I'm going to assume that either you just want to be talked at or you're not listening. So, and my preference is to talk with. So then I will make it an early show and you can listen to music. But one of the things that's important in this time frame, in time frame being this year, is to move deeply into your own spirit of love. You know, you're going to hear this over and over again from many, many healers, and that is that the way to shift any possibilities of damage to the earth is to move into a very, very sacred and special and high-level place of love. And when you move into love, it uncovers a lot of things. When you choose love over anything else from a emotional response, it shows you the areas of where you've come from. And so what's important is to move into a deep level of forgiveness for all the people that you think you wronged. Right. Deep level of forgiveness of yourself. And you also have to forgive yourself for not forgiving somebody. For just holding a grudge or wanting to enact revenge. It's very important that you release all that now. It's time to release the patterns in our life that no longer serve us. And that's what we were talking about before with the belief systems, etc. So what areas would you like to work on tonight? how would you like to be supported in your journey on your path? We only have a few more minutes before I will be signing off, unless we get a phone call. I'm not threatening, I'm just saying that that's where it's at. You see, the messages from the Akashic Records don't have to be lengthy to help you understand. They can be very profound. And we hope that because we have an 800 number, that you would be able to call and participate in our program. Again, that number is 888-260-3070. Last week we had a lot of calls, and that was fun. And so we ask you to join in and share your thoughts and share your part of being answering questions or even asking questions. Curious as to, I would love to do a survey of how many folks out there meditate on a regular basis. And when you meditate, do you meditate with a tape, or do you meditate with your breathing? How do you get into your center? Just curious if you'd like to share that with us. You know, and just a totally change of subject, you know, 2012 is the year of the dragon. And that's a very, very dynamic year, the year of the dragon. So I would love to hear anybody who has some thoughts on that. I'm still looking for that person who is a phrenologist, somebody who reads the bumps on your head. Would just love to talk to somebody quite like that. Do let me know if you know of anybody. No, there was something else I wanted to talk to you about. Zohar, my cat, just came by. He likes to walk around my computer. I think you hear him. He might even have a message for you, too. Absolutely. So I'm going to tell you that it's 11:20, and I care deeply for everyone that's listening. At the same time, I am going to close the show because I want to talk to somebody. So if you want to talk, please call in now. And again, that's 888-260-3070, and let's have a chat. Oh, I know. There's also some questions.
JoJo on line 3.
I'm sorry?
JoJo on line 3.
Oh, JoJo's there. Hi, JoJo.
Hey,
hello, JoJo. Hello.
Hi, can you hear me?
I can hear you. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm great. What's up with you?
Not much, but I'm hearing everything I say fed back to me.
Oh, talk about that.
Oh, no, like when I speak to you right now.
Oh, I'm seeing you're getting an echo.
I'm getting the echo right back in my ear.
Okay, so why don't you just call right back in? Hang up and call back.
Okay.
Okay, okay. Great. Thanks. Okay. Before Joe calls back, I just got an email. And it said, per control, some who are steeped in the teachings of ancient wisdom believe that God is, in a sense, is, in a sense, creativity. So control would be in direct opposition to the will of God. It's a very interesting concept. For what you began with, there, where you mentioned truth, but then used an example of a client you had worked with where the absence of not acknowledging the truth of others, I saw a psychological paradigm. Psychologists discovered in working with groups that those who identified with one group over another
did
what you had mentioned with control.
Jojo's back.
Okay. I'll be right with you, Jojo. Where one group could diminish the other group, they used an example of a sports team. And they felt that they had discovered the root cause of that paradigm, and they felt the people who identified with one group over another were suffering from a low self-esteem. So people in one group felt their low self-esteem get a boost by diminishing the other group, at least in the minds of the psychologist who conducted the study. Oh, and you mentioned that you would address my query from last week. Oh, this is Bob from, okay. Actually, I have to reread that. So we have Jojo on the line, and then I will go back and read your question from last week. Okay, Jojo, what's happening? Hello?
Hi, I hope this is better.
I can't hear an echo. Are you still bouncing back on yourself?
Yeah, I am. I'm wondering if I should call in on a different number.
Oh, sure. You mean like rather than the 800 number?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure. Do you have the website up? Say again?
Yeah. Let me just go use my other phone, because my long distance is on my other phone.
Okay, do that, call in, but it's sounding good with us, is what I was just hearing my producer say.
Okay, because now it's starting to go away a little bit.
Okay, all right. So tell us what you want.
I can deal with it now.
Great, good to hear that. So tell me what's going on with you.
All kinds of things.
Okay,
which,
how can we help?
In a way, it makes it not difficult, but I don't know what to ask. I just heard you say you're about to sign off. So
and you didn't want me to do that. Good. Well, talk to me about what's happening in your life, and let's see what we can figure out for you.
Okay. Basically, a lot of projects feel like they want to be started right now.
Okay.
And I'm going to start them. It's just a matter of which ones, I guess, will be the most fruitful.
Which one brings you the most joy?
Well, of course, taking the pictures brings me the most joy.
Uh-huh.
And at the same time, I also know it's a time to really share what I'm doing.
Okay.
So part of the projects I have that I'm looking at are for books, you know, photo books, various kinds of photo books.
Now, have people asked you to do them, or this is something that you've come up with?
It's something I've come up with because I see the basically there's an open space for the certain books I want to do.
Okay.
And with all the smartphones, like, you know, the iPhones and the phones that run Android, and then we go to the iPads and other tablets, you know, you make apps for those, and, you know, if I have a slideshow of my photos, of like 50 of my photos with easy links to them if people want to buy them, and they, you know, they buy this wallpaper or whatever for 99 cents just to have on their phone or their pad,
uh-huh.
It's just such an easy way to have all my photos in one place where they don't have to search for a website or something. It's like they have it on their phone if they get the itch, or if
uh-huh.
they're on an iPad and they want the, you know, the pretty wallpaper, it's already there.
Right.
So that's, you know, so it's a book, digital book kind of thing for that set of things. And then the other thing I'm looking at is doing really exclusive portfolios of my photos. And it's just interesting to me because both of them are going to generate revenue. It's just with this whole digital thing going on right now that I didn't really I was paying attention, but I didn't see it until I was in L.A.
Okay.
And walking around and seeing, you know, throngs of people, and everyone's just looking at their phone.
Right, right, exactly.
Like, well, they could all just be looking at my photos at least, you know, for 30 seconds or a minute or 5 minutes of the day, and you know, having a 99-cent app is one of the easiest things to do these days. So
okay.
That's when that clicked.
Are you going to also put inspirational comments? Are you going to have one that has inspirational comments that match your photos?
You know, I had thought of it for like the larger photos.
Uh huh.
Like on something like the size of an iPad.
Yeah.
And then whenever I think of that again, what comes to me is that I really wish I had a way to match, you know, the words that I'm going to come up with to the images, because that seems like it's going to be kind of challenging, because even coming up with a one-word or two-word title sometimes takes me a long time.
So maybe what you need is to partner with somebody who comes up with the sayings of the meaning of your picture.
Okay. Like with a poet?
Yeah, or maybe we could actually come up with some sayings from the Akashic Records.
Okay.
I mean, if that's of interest to you. You can think about it.
Yeah, it would just be helpful.
Yeah.
You know, and obviously it's beyond the scope of doing it live on the air, but it just, I guess to me when I look at it, I just want to make sure it jives.
Of course. Of course. And so the idea here is to do it with the picture in front of you, you know, and to move into the appropriate wisdom place that brings forth the true essence of the picture. See, it's about the picture speaking. And it's not so much the words as the picture itself carries the energy. The words just, you know, satisfy the mind and create the curiosity in the mind as to what more to think about.
Okay, so as opposed to a phrase that, I guess, trying to encapsulate, you know, everything in the photo, it's almost like a gentle nudge or a continuation of a train of thought.
Yeah. So, you know, so for example, just, you know, you have some beautiful pictures with lightning. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that correct?
Yeah.
I mean, those
yes.
are the ones I saw. And so if it said expanded by the light of the divine or focused on the light of the divine, I'm just making this up. You see what I mean? But the idea is that, you know, the light touches me wherever I am. There's different things that could be said. I mean, you have some beautiful pictures that evoke feelings of awe.
Yeah.
And some of them could be the expansion of my consciousness is unlimited. The beauty of nature inspires me, you know. My abundance is like a waterfall, never ending.
Okay, so almost, I guess to me, every time I think of like the inspirational sayings, in a way, I flash on that company's accessories. So they'll show like the golf ball and during a nice sunset. It's like, you know, every last shot is. I can't even think of one right now, but they're these long, drawn-out, kind of sappy things.
Yeah, they don't have to be.
So it's just kind of ethereal, just ethereal phrases.
Right. Hey, you can sell your art with or without the phrases.
Yeah, but as far as for, like, the, let's just make it simple. So, if, like, there's an iPad, so they're watching this slideshow of these decent-sized photos, and there's a big enough type where they can read. It's just...
Right.
That's what's going on in their background. So there's it's pictures, but then there's these phrases going on too.
With music.
Oh, that's okay.
That's what I'm seeing.
Okay. Well,
I definitely
have help with the music.
Yeah, that I can't help you with, but I have a sense there are people out there that could.
Well, I have a friend that can help me with the music. We've actually been waiting for years to do something together.
Okay.
So, really interesting.
Yeah.
So you're seeing a slideshow with phrases and music behind it.
Correct.
So it's more of a multimedia presentation.
Right. I mean, you could still sell the wallpapers and the screensavers and stuff like that with your art. You could still do that. But the slideshow could be very beautiful. You know.
Yeah.
And very inspirational to people. I'm sorry?
Yeah. Well, and I think at this point, too, is like specifically a friend I was looking at doing the music project with.
Uh-huh.
You know, he's already made a video, you know, with my photos and some more things, and he did a special song for the United Nations.
Okay.
And it was just a quick thing, but it was really neat. And we're just kind of waiting on me getting more specific photos in specific places and then going for like a DVD. So it was like a whole enchilada thing, big production.
Uh-huh.
But this sounds like it'd be a lot faster, something for just the iPad.
Uh-huh.
Where it wouldn't have to be a giant production DVD run of 1,000 to make it worth it. You know what I mean? It was just like an app for an iPad. I know it's not, you know, the easiest thing in the world, but I'm sure we could figure it out and produce it easier and faster than a whole DVD production.
Sure.
Okay.
I mean, and again, how do you feel when you talk about this? Is this exciting to you? How does it make you feel?
Oh, it's just so new, but it definitely seems like a more put together. It feels like the next step of ideas.
Okay.
That needed to come together.
Okay.
You know, because I wanted to make it special, and this is definitely, this is more than a slideshow.
When it has some,
you know, phrases that do justice to the photos, but also leave it open for people's interpretation. So basically inspirational words with the photos, with great music behind it.
Right.
Because I know the music's going to be great.
Uh-huh.
So.
So again, people can use it and be inspired, and if they just want to go through it or if they just want the app, you know, you have a lot of photos. I mean, you could actually make it something that they download on a monthly basis if you want.
That's a good idea.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, because I've also, like the other idea I mentioned earlier about having exclusive portfolios.
Uh-huh.
I mean, just off the top of my head, you know, there's Big Sur, which is real close to me,
mm-hmm.
Yosemite, which I've been waiting to shoot until there's a big storm this year, and it looks like it might be coming next week, and then, of course, Sedona.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, just those three were a start, but in theory, I could have a different one every month.
Correct.
You know, a lot of work, but, I mean, just down the line when I have maybe six in a row or something to start the monthly thing, so I have time to kind of catch up and have the monthly things on the back end after I'm done with those first initial six.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Monthly or quarterly to start even.
Uh-huh.
But something to get people consistently back.
Well, yeah. And they could just subscribe.
Okay.
So they get new stuff all the time. So you understand how many users you have.
Okay.
Once they subscribe, then they just automatically get the download every month or every quarter. Well, this way it's less, you know, it's one less thing for them to worry about. If you make it reasonable enough so that they could subscribe for the year for $10, let's say.
Okay.
You know? And you just got to get yourself a lot of people subscribing for $10 for the year. I mean, but for a year, my goodness, that's less than 99 cents, like you were saying, a month, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So it's something that you want to think about and look into and see what it would cost for the production and at what point you're profitable. How many do you need to be profitable? You know. Because that's the rest is gravy.
Yeah, and really it would be, you know, if my friend or I could actually produce the app, then, you know, free is a funny word, but yeah, I mean the costs would just be our time.
Yes, right, exactly. Now. Right.
So.
Exactly. It's one of the things I love about the records. They just kind of, you kind of tell them what's going on, and they just kind of come up with stuff for you.
Yeah, that's neat. I appreciate it because it's funny. Since 2000, you know, it turned to 2012. I had some fuzziness at the beginning of the year, but after that fuzziness cleared, a whole lot of clarity came through.
Great.
And it's just like a daily dose, and there's no, I guess what's the word? I don't have to put the effort in, like you mentioned meditation before. It's like maybe I kind of just slow down and stop trying to figure it all out, and I just sit, and then things come right to me.
Right,
you know,
exactly.
Once I start in a little bit of deep breathing, it's there. It just seems so much easier to access.
Right.
So.
That's exactly what we're talking about.
Yeah.
And this year, 2012, is going to be so... It's such a clearing out for people, too. It's not only
yeah.
a receiving, but it's clearing out. So every time we clear out, we have to be willing to receive more.
I think that's a really good point.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of surprising, like I said, with the fog. I also realized, like, I don't get physically sick.
Uh-huh.
I haven't, like, with a cold or anything. I just don't because I guess my immune system, my body is so robust. It just doesn't, like, years it's been since I've actually been sick.
Wow, that's
but
great.
I get energetically, I do get sick.
You get drained is what you get.
Yeah, I'll sit in front of the TV for days sometimes, just like kind of zombied out, and then I just kind of come to, like, oh, okay, I'm clear again.
Right.
And sometimes I can do my energy clearings and get right through it, and other times, like, nothing is going to help it. I'm down for the count.
Yeah.
And I think what it is like the clearing you just mentioned, it has to happen.
Right.
I'll be in the middle of my clearings, I'll just be like, eating tons of junk food, which, you know, doesn't necessarily make sense, you know, but I just go for it. I don't fight it. And I was like, you know what, this has just got to go through and pass. And
right.
I'm eating Ben and Jerry's tonight. That's the way it's going to be. I'm getting
yeah.
nothing done, and I'm going to be okay with it.
Yeah.
And then the
and
next day, super productive, you know.
Well, the thing is that it's really about following your heart about what brings you the greatest joy at the time.
Yeah.
So what happens is that when you feel like a slug, what's going to bring you
yeah.
the biggest joy is to do nothing.
Yeah, which is hard to do at times.
To do nothing, you mean?
Yeah, well, like, for instance, I just got a new camera a month ago. You know, it's amazing. I'm looking out, seeing a perfectly moonlit night, and I'm sitting there like, I don't want to go out and take pictures. It's like... But it's like, I don't want to do anything. And so I'll just sit there and, you know, quote unquote, waste that beautiful light. But in reality, I didn't want to do anything.
But
my
if you would have forced yourself, it wouldn't have come out the way, it wouldn't have come out in beauty anyway. It would have been a forced energy.
Exactly. And that's
yep.
that's what finally lets me sit down and just do nothing that night.
Exactly. And that's what's giving you the greatest
yeah.
joy for that moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what we're talking about. It's really about following what your inner guidance tells you feels good at the moment. And not to beat yourself
yep.
up for not getting what you need to get done. That's
yep.
important. That's
good.
Really,
yep.
and it's, you know what, not it's very hard to get to because if you're used to doing stuff, you know, it's like you keep beating yourself up.
Yeah,
you know, like you beat yourself up, and you can't enjoy it if you beat yourself up. So the more you beat yourself up, the less you want to do. I don't
yeah.
know if you've ever experienced that.
Just you know, time to time.
Yeah.
Well, what's funny with that is, over the last, you know, we've had such a dry winter out here, and actually for the last week we've had summer weather.
Uh-huh.
Right on the coast, it's usually cold and foggy and rainy this time of year, except the last 2 years, in January, we've had summer again.
Uh-huh.
70 degrees,
wow.
and just beautiful. But I've still been like, I need to be outside with the camera. I need to be out shooting. That doesn't happen. And I was like, okay, well, I need to get some money rolling in. And I actually looked on Craigslist yesterday.
Uh-huh.
And it was so funny. As I'm looking at the photo jobs,
yeah,
like, there's just like this pit inside me. It's just like this, no, oh, just this horrible feeling. And I'm like, what? And as soon as I just got off Craigslist, I felt better.
Well, and that tells you something, now, doesn't it?
Yeah, and then with an hour or two, I start getting all these ideas again and motivation to do all these other projects that make sense. I was like, you know, what I had it. I asked myself, like, what do I actually really want to do?
Right.
Instead of what do I have to do?
Exactly. You know, the interesting thing about it is when people try and make money so they have enough money to do what they love, the reality is that other job or that other focus doesn't help them focus on what they truly love. It just takes them time. It takes time away from them.
Yep.
So it's always important to do what you love and really trust the money will follow. Absolutely. So are you still?
Yeah.
Are you and your lady friend still together?
Yeah.
Great.
So, just about 2.5 years now.
Very good. Very good. Glad to hear that. Yep.
Yeah.
And
thank you.
Yep. So what was your other project? So you said you wanted to do these slideshows, and what else were you thinking about?
Well, it's something that I've been thinking of for years, but it finally made sense now, because I've been thinking of getting investors to get some bigger projects going.
Okay.
But that never sat right with me to just like, hey, now you're part of the company. It's like, now what? You know, or are they partial owners of my photos now? Or, you know, it just that kind of thing seems to always get funny.
Well, you have to talk to an attorney about that.
Yeah, and that's another, you know, like there's so many layers and levels of it.
Uh-huh.
And then, so I thought like, well, okay, well, what if I just did exclusive portfolios? Because I do like doing something special, especially for like the art lovers that really love something special, because it's kind of hard with photos.
Uh-huh.
You know, with a painting, there's one of one. So that's a done deal. With photos, you do one of one. It's kind of strange, but you could do a special portfolio. So I was looking at, like I said again, like Big Sur, Yosemite, Sedona, starting with those,
uh-huh.
and doing an exclusive portfolio where the person, you know, the collector would purchase a portfolio, and that would be a one-of-one portfolio. Because I also don't like saying, like, limited edition. I haven't done that with my work. I've done special editions and numbered them. But, in the galleries, a big thing is to do limited editions, and that word never sat right with me. But making a special edition and then obviously an ultra special edition, a one of one that, you know, this investor in the portfolio would be the only person who has it.
Okay.
And it'd be a group of say 10 photos and, you know, there'd be a decent price on it, but they know it's a one of a kind portfolio of these certain prints that no one else has. And of those prints, I'd sell, or of the each image, I'd still sell prints of that image, but they might have the only certain particular size. You know, let's just say for fun, it's a portfolio of all 16 by 20 inch images, and I never sell that particular or those particular images in 16 by 20 again. Then get bigger or smaller prints, so it's really a very exclusive collector's item.
Uh-huh.
And let's just say, to throw out a number, that just say that it's a $5,000 investment. But that investment will only increase the more I sell of each of those images.
Sure.
And it can be of images I've already created or images I will create or a combination.
Very good. Very good.
So does anything come through for the record saying that's a... that's in alignment with, I guess, my whole photos, all my photos as a whole?
Well, what you're suggesting sounds like a good idea, but the reality is this is what they're saying is you'll make, from a financial point of view, you'll make more money with your slideshow.
Interesting. Yeah.
And the reason for that is because because you can get it out to so many people, whereas collectors are not hard to find, but they're kind of a needle in the haystack kind of a situation. It's like you know where they are,
yeah,
you know what they do, you know, you've got information on them, but whether or not, you know, and they can dictate to you what you want. But again, when you're promoting it or selling it, you're still going to have to take time one-on-one with those clients, right?
Yeah, which, you know, I guess at some point I really do want to do. I like, you know, if I find someone that's just in love with my work and obviously is going to invest that kind of money and effort and time, and I can sit and spend a day with them and go through the photos and talk about everything, I mean, that I look forward to that, you know.
Sure.
But for the most part, I want to be out taking photographs, you know,
exactly,
creating more work. And the funniest thing is when I was driving through L.A., my intuition was just such a hit when I'm like, I need to make something for the iPad with my photos.
Uh-huh.
And it was just like it was a no-brainer. I mean, I even called my girlfriend right away, and I was like leaving a message on her phone because she was at work. I'm like, remind me of this when I'm home. This is it. I know I might get confused between here and 3 days from now after I've driven around L.A. and, you know, worked my tail off. So just remind me I need to do this when I get home. And part of that was also finding out that Peter Lick, I don't know if you know that name.
No, I don't.
But he's a world-famous fine art photographer, and he even has his own TV show on the Weather Channel this year.
Oh, huh?
And I guess from what I've read last year, he made like $30 million in revenue through 13 of his own photography galleries.
Wow.
And et cetera. You know, all his products, everything in his company, he made $30 million from fine art photography.
Wow.
So, yeah, that's a lot of money. And,
yeah.
And I look at his prints, and they're priced really high, like, you know, 10, 20 times more than my prints are for sale for. And then I read a write-up about him, and he broke in to this whole thing. He made his way selling books. So it's like, huh? The guy, oh, coffee table books. And they said he sold 1 million books.
Wow.
And, you know, coffee table books, I'm guessing the cheapest one he could have sold is probably $20-$25.
I probably would
like
have more than that,
bucks.
But yeah.
Yeah, and I've seen a lot of them $75 to $100. So let's just say for fun they were all $50. That's $50 million of books, and he's famous because of the books, not necessarily the prints.
Right, exactly.
So when that clicked for me, I'm like, oh, I've been trying so hard with the prints, but really it's a matter of how do I get my images in front of the most amount of people? And then the smartphones thing came to me, but really it was the iPad because I wanted it to be big enough where it could be enjoyed. And I know once it's in the iPad, then it can be shrunk or whatever for the iPhones and the Android phones or whatever. But and there's a few photographers out there that have already done this. It's not like it hasn't been done before.
Uh-huh.
But I think in a way I'm going to do it, it might be a new thing or newer where not many people are actually putting everything together.
Right. Well, I think that, you know, you're going to, I mean, even if there is something similar to what you're talking about, doesn't mean you should not do it because everybody's looking for something a little different.
Yeah. Yeah. And someone might be doing a, you know, best of New York City thing. Well, I don't have that, but they do. And that's fine because the other thing is someone buys a 99-cent app of a nature slideshow, then they'll get the 99-cent app of New York City.
Uh-huh.
And the 99-cent app of Los Angeles Sunset Strip. You know, it's a thing. It's endless.
Right.
And, yeah, so there's room for everybody.
Well, I think those are some very, 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 very good ideas. So which are you going to start on first?
The iPad one.
Yeah, that seems to be the where your real passion is. So.
Yeah.
Right now, anyway, for today.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and then you know, contacting my friend and letting him know my idea, letting that bounce around in his head for a few days if need be. But I think he'll.
He's a composer, right?
Too. Yes, he is.
What?
He is. Have I mentioned him before? Or you just.
He what? Hello.
Oh, sorry. I don't know if you're getting feedback. Have
no.
I had I mentioned him before?
No, I said. Well, what did I just ask you? Totally blanked on that.
He's
a composer.
He's a composer, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And he does arrangements as well, correct?
Yeah, he's done some for big Hollywood movies. So
great.
He's already very successful and a real good guy. And, you know, of course, he actually is one of the first people that really kind of opened me up to metaphysics back in the day. So
wow.
It's been a long time coming. And what was funny is he also kind of showed me that you can pursue your dreams because we met when we were both in junior college.
Uh-huh.
And one day he said, dude, I'm leaving. I'm just driving around the country, and I'm going to find another place to live and make my music.
Huh.
You know? And I don't think he was pre-med at the time, but we were both taking kind of pre-med courses.
Uh-huh.
You know, like anatomy, physiology, and whatever. And he just took off mid-semester and ended up out in Colorado, bought this amazing organ, and started composing music and got to Hollywood a few years later and started composing for movies.
Wow.
He just did it, you know?
Yeah, that's quite a break that he got, you know, to be able to compose for him.
Yeah, and he basically, you know, he lived way out in the mountains for years, and you know, he went into town and whatever and hung out with people, but really spent as much time as possible just focusing on his music and being in nature and getting deeper and deeper and deeper into himself and what he actually wanted to produce. And, like, once he felt he got there, he moved out to L.A. and went for it.
So he truly followed his bliss, eh?
Yes, he did.
Yep.
Yes, he did. He's a great example of it.
Well, that's great. And, you know, that's what everybody is encouraged to do, is to follow their bliss. And that's what we were saying earlier. Only do what makes you feel good. And I know that sounds really weird, but you'd be amazed at how much more you get done when you do it that way.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep.
And it's interesting with people I've talked to over the years, when I first started really getting into my photos, I felt so selfish doing it because it was a whole change of mindset. You know, I mean, I was living pretty much every moment of my life so differently than before because it was kind of an instant decision after an accident I had. So, So I made a real strong decision and stuck with it. So I was dealing with my own conflicts while I was doing it for years. You know, and there's still echoes of that sometime. Like, am I just being selfish? You know, and I've even mentioned that on the air before. But yeah, it's like sticking to what you do best and what makes you happiest is actually putting out the most happiness and joy and ease into the world.
And it shifts the energy of others when they look at your work, too.
Yeah. Yeah,
because right.
People can tell what's in something.
Oh, for sure they can. Absolutely.
Like when you go to a nice restaurant and you find out that this family has owned it for years and they actually love making food for people and love seeing them happy and satisfied at the end of the meal, and you feel good and they feel good and everyone's like, you got to go here when you're in town. I mean, it's a pretty simple thing.
Yeah. Well, and the food tastes different because they loved what they're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, I just went to a new restaurant in town the other day, and a kid even younger than me, he's like, yeah, my dad owns this place, but the most important thing, because it was my first time after he asked me, he's like, you know, the most important thing is you're happy when you leave here. I was like,
right.
Okay, you know? And then he turns to the guy making my food. He's like, make sure you make this with a lot of love. This is his first time in here. I'm going to make sure he comes back.
That's great.
So, yeah, yeah. So it's just cool because the more I'm talking with people lately, people just seem like they're really waking up to what they want to do. and I know you've said it a bunch of times tonight, but I see it all around me now.
Well, that's an important thing to come to realize, that's for sure. You know, and it sounds like that's what you're, you know, of course, you've been living your dream for a while, right?
Yeah, it's just refocusing. It, you know, every time I get to a place where it feels not necessarily stagnant, but it's like, okay, what now? Then it's just a refocus.
Right.
And really, because I've had such a chance to spend, well, now 12 years really focused on producing the best photos I can, the focus is how can I share them the best?
Right.
You know, where in my mind it was, you know, for a while using, you know, the best photo paper I can get and putting in the best frame and putting in the best light on the wall gallery, you know, and that kind of idea, the way I want to do it, let's just say for fun, each one of those is a $1,500 to $2,000 project on my end, you know?
Sure.
Plus the wall space and getting it in the gallery. That's, you know, so it's just, it's a massive undertaking in a way.
Uh-huh.
Whereas now with this technology, it may not be a giant print on the wall, but it's enough to make someone else happy for 99 cents.
Exactly.
Or $10.
A year, right.
And that's
absolutely
what people are really asking for.
That's, yeah, and again, if you can inspire people not only with your art, but with the music and what the art says, it's even better, you know? It's a full package. So.
Yeah, because now there's two of us working on our passions and sharing it together.
Absolutely.
Or more.
Right, or more. Well, Judge, I'm so glad you called in. Thank you so much. You made the program really interesting. Thanks so much. It's time for us to go.
Oh, thank you.
All right.
Okay.
And I'm glad that the master's teachers and loved ones could be helpful to you. Please keep me informed as to what's going on with this project. And if we can help in any way, please let us know.
Okay. Thank you so much.
All right.
Really
you have a great evening.
It.
Okay. Good night.
You too.
Okay.
Bye.
Good night. Well, you know, ladies and gentlemen, we've come to the end of the time. It's time to go, and JoJo was good enough to give a call. I do want to speak to Bob, who emailed a question, and he mentioned something about that. I said something when I was talking to him a couple of weeks ago about Copernicus, and I got to tell you, I don't know what that's about. So I think I'd have to listen to the program again. But I'm not getting anything from the records on it, so I'll have to do some more work on it, or maybe next week if you can email another question, that'd be great. So, well, it's 11:59, and so it's time for us to close the records for the Akashic Wisdom Show. So I want to thank the masters, teachers, and loved ones for all their wonderful healing information, and we ask that all of those out there listening, may their hearts be opened, their burdens be lifted, and may you truly look into the mirror and see into the heart of the divine. Good night, everybody. Have a miracle-filled week, and we'll see you back here, same time, same station, next week. All righty. Have a great one. I think that would be January 22nd. Okay. Bye-bye.